Shane Jones joins us for Recorded Door today. We missed our chance, so I rang the other more handsome Jones and Peter Lucas, who spoke with us this morning and filled in your slot admirably, I might add. Iho tenakwe, Shane.
Oh, well, the tuakan has been displaced by the tainere mara.
Yes, it can happen from time to time, he was telling us
and
all
fair
about.
Fair enough, like Wally. Mate, what a folk hero is Wally, eh?
Yeah.
He has been a feature of our social development educational debates since the late 80s.
Very humble man. Lovely.
Whakaiti. Great. Lovely to hear his kōrero.
Tēnā koe, Shane. Look, you know more about this area that I'm going to delve into now, which is the Reserve Bank. Many of us, well, for a start, we don't get great financial literacy training in school, do we? So many, including myself, come out of there not understanding how financial systems work, and therefore, when they raise rates for the Reserve Bank, it sort of just goes straight over the top of my head. I hope that, you know, in your life you've managed to work out what the hell they do. The Reserve Bank, Te Pūtea Matua, is going to loosen loan-to-value ratio restrictions, all right? How will this affect those wanting to get on the housing ladder, Shane?
Well, the Reserve Bank was created in its current form back in the days of Rogernomics. It became totally independent, and statutorily, legally speaking, the governor and the board of that entity, they run their own ship. And what they're trying to do is constrain or increase the amount of money in the system. All of us, at some point in time, we get our money from banks, and banks are regulated by the Reserve Bank. And the most recent Amara decision that they're making is enabling people who are wanting to buy a house to have a smaller deposit. Things got quite extreme over the last 2 years as the bank sought to increase the obligation on you to have a deposit of a hefty size. But now they're shrinking, so maybe you can go back to only having, I'm not entirely sure what figure they've arrived at, but there used to be a point where you had a 5% deposit, and that got too risky, then it went to 10%, then it went to 20%. And now if you're buying a residential investment property, if I'm not mistaken, you need at least 40%. So when you decrease the amount of pūtea we have to save in order to get a loan to buy that house, then theoretically, it's going to increase the number of people coming back into the market, having a crack, taking a risk. Hopefully they can afford to service the mortgage. And that's what the Reserve Bank has done over the last week or so.
We seem to have to adjust Māori to financial influences. All we want is a damn house, you know what I mean, in our own land, and it's become increasingly difficult. Will there come a time when our people arc up in some way, Shane, because it must be incredibly frustrating. We're welcoming in people by their thousands, literally. They're getting a jump on us. They come in with a pocket full of cash, go and buy the houses, and our people are renting. What's this all going to lead to, do you think? It's a pretty volatile kaupapa.
Yeah, well, it's very difficult for foreigners to buy property in New Zealand now. There is a wrinkle in that argument that you can buy an apartment, but very, very difficult, if not impossible, now for foreigners to buy if you are not living in New Zealand for the majority of the year. You know, Helen Clark, in my view, took a lot of risks and did quite innovative things with the housing. So the Māori Affairs, they had a housing budget, they would land bank, and they built those streets and areas and places such as Porirua, South Auckland, parts of Whangarei, and indeed parts of Taitokerau. And there's no reason why the Crown, given the large amounts of money it's wasting in kāinga ora, I'll give you a small example. In kāinga ora, the local market was prepared to pay $1.3 million for a section. Kāinga ora paid 2.7. That is 100% more. Now, with that level of profligacy, there's no way that the market can compete against kāinga ora. Number one, kāinga ora, if in the event I'm the housing minister in the future, they will be made to stop all that. Their job will simply to be look after the people that are in the houses that the government owns with appropriate pastoral care. Nothing. Leave the development to the market and the people who know what they're doing. But that aside, there's no reason why the Crown can't come up with a policy to fund papakāinga housing. Ngāti Rihi, one of our hapū up in the Bay of Islands, they've got over 30 or 40 sites where the occupation license has already been agreed to. By that I mean the Māori Affairs enable someone to occupy the land, and you get some pūtea and put a house on there, and then you own the house. Sure, you can never sell the land, but you can move out of the house, have someone else stay in it. You own your own house and slowly pay off that debt. And it's astounding that such developments haven't taken place up and down the country. And of course, Ihu Matau, that land was restored back to Crown ownership for the purpose of not only housing but heritage outcomes. I've no idea what's happened over the last 2 or 3 years. Mind you, I predicted nothing would happen.
I can't help you there either, mate. I'll see if I can find out something today, Shane. Hey, it's risky political strategies when you bottom line. There was a bottom line too for New Zealand First. He said, hey, we want a fund to boost regional New Zealand's prospects. And you oversaw that fund as a result, which was much appreciated. I noticed the Māori Party have said, hey, listen, our bottom line is that they're going to have to put some GST on these rich who are getting richer by doing stuff all and paying tax on ghost houses. That's our bottom line. We won't team up with anybody. What do you make of that? And are bottom lines in kingmaker capacity sensible political strategies?
Well, bottom lines are bottom lines only work if you're prepared to go all the way. And the Māori Party is better keeping its powder dry. If you're willing to go all the way, then you've got that option of bottom line. But you know, politics is about having choices. Politics is about having options, and you just need to wait until you see how all the marbles sort of roll around the electoral bloody floor space there, Mara. I do understand where JT is coming from, that he knows that we need to generate revenue in order to pay for the recovery after COVID, the climate change related stuff. So on that point, the dough's got to come from somewhere, and I guess he's a wee bit of a fiscal conservative in the sense he doesn't want to keep borrowing.
And thank you for your lessons in the meaning of words. You're the first guy I've ever interviewed who used the term husbandry, which I was impressed by. But to be honest, mate, I just Googled up profligacy. All right, you guys, Shane dropped that one in today. Nice little lesson for you. Reckless extravagance or wastefulness in the use of resources. It was right on the money. It was the right word. Shame I didn't go to English classes a bit more regularly, bro, but there we go. We live and learn with Shane Jones each week. Thanks very much, Shane. Have a great week.
Okay, bro.
See you, man.